Suns Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the April 7th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. It's Fun Feature Friday on the Sunny Side of Sports. We begin the show with features from Gwen Uten and Darren Taylor. Basketball great Michael Jordan broke records during his playing days, and the jerseys and sneakers MJ once wore are now breaking records on the auction block. Some shoes worn by Jordan in the 1998 NBA Finals are expected to be the highest-priced sneakers ever sold. VOA's Gwen Uten has details. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Last September, the so-called Last Dance jersey worn by Michael Jordan in the 1998 NBA Finals sold for an unprecedented $10.1 million and set a record as the most expensive sports memorabilia. It surpassed the $5.8 million price for Kobe Bryant's iconic number 24 LA Lakers jersey and broke the previously held record for the Hand of God shirt worn by Argentine soccer great Diego Maradona. This week, Michael Jordan's Last Dance game shoes went up for sale at Sotheby's Auction House, where Bram Wachter is head of streetwear and modern collectibles. And Wachter says the opening bid for the Air Jordan 13s has already broken an auction record as the most expensive pair of sneakers ever sold.
So the estimate for the shoes is $2 to $4 million. And actually, when we opened the auction, we received a bid for $1.8 million, which will actually break the world record for any pair of sneakers that's ever sold publicly.
The former Chicago Bulls star wore the Nike Air Jordans during a victory over the Utah Jazz in the 1998 NBA Finals. Afterwards, Jordan autographed the toe box of each shoe with silver ink. Those signatures, Wachter says, are still intact, and the game-worn shoes are in immaculate condition.
These shoes were worn in Game 2 of the 1998 NBA Finals. And he won that game. He scored 37 points. They're in remarkable condition with beautiful, big silver signatures. And they're game worn by him. And so it's really kind of a spectacular specimen.
In 2021, Sotheby's sold a pair of Nike Airships that Jordan wore in his rookie season for just over $1.4 million, an auction record at the time. But Bram Wachter expects the Air Jordan 13s to break that record, due in part to its rebellious black and red design.
In terms of kind of sneaker culture, there are two things about these shoes that are really special. So one is that they're breads. So, Michael Jordan, when he first started, wearing Air Jordans, or, they were getting the Air Jordan ready for him, he wore black and red ones, which were actually banned by the league. And so they would, receive a fine for breaking the uniformity clause. And so bred sneakers, black and red sneakers, have always sort of had this mythical relationship with sneakerheads. And so these are breads. And then second of all, this is actually the last signature shoe that you could buy while Michael Jordan was still, a member of the Bulls. That was sort of in stores during that playoff run.
The real life events behind the creation of the Air Jordan shoe line and Nike's partnership with Michael Jordan has been made into a new film entitled Air. The film has just been released in the United States, and critics are saying Air is a slam dunk. And Bram Wachter expects the film will help reignite interest in Air Jordans.
The Air movie has definitely heated up the sneaker market, I would say for sure. We're noticing interest across the board in original OG Air Jordan models. And so... I think that film has certainly had an impact on the market.
Michael Jordan's original Nike Air Jordan 13s are currently up for auction, and bidding will remain open through next Tuesday, April 11th. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Gwen. And you have a good weekend, too. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden.
Sporty greetings. This is Namhlamphelo, media officer of Banyana Banyana of South Africa. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
In cricket, South Africa's Lungi Ngidi is being described as one of the best fast bowlers the country has produced in recent years. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports feature profile, Darren Taylor tells us more from Johannesburg.
One of Test cricket's greatest achievements for a bowler is a haul of 5 wickets in a match. In January 2018, at the age of just 20, Lungi Ngidi made his Test debut against India at SuperSport Park in Pretoria. And what a debut it was. During India's second innings, the fast bowler took 6 wickets, conceding a mere 39 runs.
And doesn't time it. It's Ngidi who runs across and takes it. He has the knack of taking wickets. He's struck with the second ball, and it's the Indian captain.
Since South Africa re-entered international cricket after decades of sporting isolation because of apartheid, the country's teams have had mixed results. They've been the highest-ranked Test and one-day team on many occasions since the early 1990s, but have consistently failed to win a World Cup. But no one can argue that during that time, the Proteas, named after South Africa's national flower, have produced some of the greatest fast bowlers ever. Ngidi, the son of a fuel attendant, is one of them.
We made ends meet where we could. It was simple, but I enjoyed it. I had a loving family. You know, I think I grew up a pretty happy child.
Ngidi's mother worked as a domestic helper for a family in the upmarket suburb of Kloof, near the east coast city of Durban. The family sponsored his tuition at the local primary school. Ngidi did so well academically that nearby Hilton College, one of South Africa's most prestigious schools, approached him to enroll.
Yeah, you know, I had to adapt to it, but, you know, I think that was part of my journey. Fortunate enough to get a scholarship to such a, you know, amazing school. And I think I had to use that opportunity. Everything was bigger. Yeah, you know, over time you get used to it. And I think finding myself in that environment really helped me mold into the man that I am today.
Ngidi, tall and strong, initially excelled at the rough and tumble game of rugby. He says he dabbled in cricket. This dabbling was enough to attract the attention of Hilton's cricket coach, former Zimbabwe international Neil Johnson. Johnson guided Ngidi into the vicious art of hurling cricket balls at opposing batsmen, trying to smash their wickets and sometimes smashing their bodies. After establishing himself as one of South Africa's most exciting talents on the provincial cricket scene, Ngidi was selected for the national squad just 2 years out of high school.
As a youngster coming into the team, you're obviously a bit nervous, but I think once you start finding your feet, the environment that we have really allows you to be yourself. And, you know, that's who I intended to be, the type of person that I am. If something doesn't sit well with me, I'm going to say something.
In March 2020, in a one-day international against formidable Australia, Ngidi took his first 5-wicket haul in one-day cricket. That same match saw him reach 50 wickets in one-day matches in only 26 games, a national record. Later that year, Ngidi was named South African Cricketer of the Year. He took his first 5-wicket haul in 20-over cricket against England in July last year. Ngidi's also respected for his activism off the field, where he raises his big voice to oppose violence against women and children, which is rampant in South Africa.
We all have loved ones in our lives. you know, there's women and children in my life that I care about. And, you know, I really do worry about their safety as well. So it sits close to my heart because it's something that we see on a daily basis as well. You know, it's all over social media. Being a sportsman and the platform that you have, you know, you can really influence change within society. And I think, you know, being able to engage with the youth, empower them and educate them can really go a long way in breaking a cycle that has been now happening for a very long time.
Ngidi says from what he's seen at schools around the country in recent years, including in townships, South Africa's not going to be short of excellent fast bowlers in the future, especially if the youngsters of today apply themselves properly.
Focus is important. Education is important. That's one thing that my parents drove home. I could never play cricket unless I got my studies in order. So, yeah, you know, dream big. Because to be honest, I never thought I'd see myself sitting in this position today, but here I am. And I guess the main thing was just I listened to a lot of information that was given to me. Listening is a very important skill in life. And if you can do that, I think you will find a lot of information that will help you achieve.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
Thanks, Darren. The Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook, Twitter, and at voaafrica.com. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. My Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. And if you go to voaafrica.com, you can listen online to the Sunny Side of Sports and other VOA programs. Check out voaafrica.com. Pro basketball. The NBA's regular season is winding down. And right now, the hottest team in the league, appropriately named, is the Phoenix Suns. The Suns won their 7th consecutive game on Thursday night, beating the visiting Denver Nuggets. The AP's George Tanner reports from Phoenix.
Kevin Durant led the way with 29 points and 7 rebounds as the Suns defeated the shorthanded Nuggets 119-115. Chris Paul added a career-high 7 three-pointers as the Suns picked up their season-best 7th straight win.
Guys keep telling me to shoot, and I just said, all right. You know, and it is weird, but whatever it takes, if that means scoring, if that means assisting, you know, then got to shoot to keep them honest.
Bruce Brown had 31 to lead the Nuggets, who played the entire game without their usual starting five due to injuries. Denver had already clinched the top seed in the West on Wednesday. George Tanner, Phoenix.
Thanks, George. The Suns have 2 games left in the regular season, and they will be the 4th seed in the Western Conference in the upcoming NBA playoffs. Now let's go to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where the Miami Heat were hot. They routed Joel Embiid and the Philadelphia 76ers. The AP's Michael Luongo reports from Philadelphia.
Three-point shooting enabled the Heat to keep their hopes of a number 6 seed in the NBA Eastern Conference playoffs alive in a 129-101 win over the 76ers. Miami took control in the first quarter, shooting 6 of 10 from behind the three-point stripe. Tyler Hero made 3 of 4 three-point baskets in the second quarter. He then added 2 more in the fourth to an 11-2 run. Hero, along with Jimmy Butler, had a game-high 24.
I just got comfortable. My team teammates got me, you know, in the right spots, and I was able to just knock down some shots.
Joel Embiid had 21 for the Sixers. Michael Luongo, Philadelphia.
Thanks, Michael. Professional golf. Three players tied for the lead after the first round of the Masters tournament in the southern U.S. city of Augusta, Georgia. The AP's Josh Roundtree reports.
A three-way tie after round one of the Masters. John Rahm and Victor Hovland both finished 7 under par Thursday, as did Brooks Koepka.
I just take it one day at a time. There's a lot going on, but, you know, just try to play the best I can play every time I tee it up. Played well this week, takes care of a lot of things. You know, it was nice to win last week, but just try to build off that momentum.
Jason Day and Cameron Young finished 2 off the lead. Scottie Scheffler 4 under. Phil Mickelson was 1 under. Tiger Woods 2 over. I'm Josh Roundtree.
Thanks, Josh.
My name is Shida Lin, a Ugandan 400 meters Olympian. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
In African athletics, Ghanaian sprinter Isaac Botio has been running some fast times recently for the track and field team at West Texas A&M University here in the USA. In this Sunny Side of Sports profile, Yawafusu Larbi tells us more about the 23-year-old athlete. Sporty greetings, Yao!
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Isaac Botio grew up in 2nd D, in Ghana's western region. His life as a boy is a far cry from where he is now. At the West Texas A&M University, there's a functioning running track, equipment, and other perfectly curated schedules to help his athletic development. All of which he did not readily have when he decided to take up athletics in Ghana. Botio, like every young Ghanaian child, loved football. He played in his neighborhood with his friends and had aspirations of taking it up until he found athletics in high school. At the University of Ghana, he was at his peak.
I ran a couple of meets over there. I was able to join the University of Ghana athletics team to Kenya. I was ranked the third fastest man in all African university at 2022. All African University Games at Kenyatta University. And also, I won the Junior Olympics, which was organized by the Legon Creative Athletics Club. I won that race that was in 2021. Yeah.
The move from Ghana to the United States is always a tough one. He struggled initially, but has integrated quickly.
At first, you know, it will not be easy for anybody in your first position in terms of academics. You know, so sports like training, combining your education and athletics. Because in U.S., it's all about education. Your education first. Your education first. So it wasn't easy for me because I was using the Ghana method of education, like education system here. But as time goes on, I was able to catch up with everything and also get focused on my athletics training and also education as well.
The last few weeks have been phenomenal for the young athlete. He has just won the D2 National Indoor 60-meter dash, recording a personal best of 6.69 seconds and is basking in it.
The feeling is great. You know, it's all about focus, dedication, discipline, hard work. You know, since day one, I've been winning my conference, I've been winning my my heat. So the target was me getting the national title. So it's all about, yeah, we focusing and training to get a national title. Yeah, the feeling was amazing.
Now, just take me through the race. I mean, how did it go for you? And after the race, when you saw your time, and then when you saw that you had won, how, you know, just take me through the emotions that you went through after the race.
I had a couple of runs, blocks with my coach. You know, most of the coach I ran, like, they were surprised. Like, in a few minutes, I'm going to run the 60, and all of a sudden, I'm doing the straight speed of, let's say, max V of 80% during the practice. You know, I did a couple of blocks over there. They were like, most of the coaches were surprised, but I believe in Coach Alom, like what he was doing and the method that he was giving me, because I'm, as I said earlier on, I'm a type of athlete. When I get only one race, I need to heat up a lot. Like I need to get a lot of warm up before I can execute in the race. So I think that was the magic.
Botio has won one time, but that is what winning does. It makes you want more. He has set his sights on winning a lot more, running at top meets in the world and big events like the Olympics and the World Championships. For the sunny side of sports, this is the Alpha Sulabi in Accra.
Thanks, Yao. Samson Omale joins us now with another extra spicy package of African sports news. Sporty Good Friday greetings, Samson.
Sporty Good Friday greetings to you too, Sonny. We begin the sport with the inaugural CAF African Schools Football Championship Finals holding in South Africa. A total of $300,000 is up for grabs for both the winners of the boys and girls competition. The school soccer event kicked off on Wednesday, the 5th of April, and the final will be played on Saturday, the 8th of April. The final will be played at the King Zwelithini Stadium. The Mosepe Foundation has donated over $1 million in prize money for the school soccer tournament, making it the richest schools event on African soil. Veron Musengo Omar is the Confederation of African Football Secretary General.
This program means a world for CAF. You know, we have a lot of functionality there. It is to enjoy football, to have education, and we're using also to vehicle the value of football to our kids.
Staying with school competition, the FIFA Football for Schools program has been launched in Windhoek, Namibia, in partnership with the Namibia Football Federation. The program aims to contribute to the education, development, and empowerment of boys and girls across the globe. Director of FIFA Football for Schools, Fatimata Sidibe, who was at the launch, said the program will also help beneficiaries to acquire life skills beyond football.
I call on all stakeholders to get involved in the effective implementation of football for school, to accompany and collaborate with the Namibian Football Association in the effective monitoring of football for school in schools. It's about our children, their education, preparing them to become better citizens and promoting social change. Looking ahead, I would respectfully request your continued support, as we believe that the Namibian Football Association and the government can contribute to social change in the country by working on the foundation that have been laid with the launch of Football for School program.
And now to the premier club competition on the African continent. Record champions Al Hakli and Morocco's Raja Casablanca will face off in the quarterfinals of the CAF Champions League for a second consecutive season after the two North African giants were paired in Wednesday evening's draw. Al Hakli will host the first leg in Cairo. Meanwhile, defending champions Wydad Casablanca will play Tanzanian side Simba SC, with the first leg set to be staged in Dar es Salaam. Simba will be familiar with the surroundings in Casablanca as they face up with Wydad's arch-rivals, Raja, in the group stages, losing 3-1. The last meeting between the two sides was in the 2021 season in the special playoff match, where Wydad won 3-0. Ali Chosema Coucha Robertino is Simba's coach.
In CAD final now in Champions League, don't have easy game. We need to understand, Simba Sports Club is ready to play with all teams. You know, we win 7-0 and a good result, a good performance. But now I think it's very important to give priority for looking for a good strategy, because I believe too much in my players. Simba is big club, have experience in Champions League too. I think our objective will be play well and win.
In other fixtures, 2016 champions Mamelodi Sundowns will continue their campaign for a second title with the first leg of their quarterfinals in Algeria against CR Belouizdad. Another Algerian side, JS Kabylie, will host Esperance of Tunisia in the first leg of the fourth quarterfinal duel, another enticing North African derby. The quarterfinals are scheduled for the weekend of April 21st to the 22nd, and the return fixtures a week later. The semifinals will be played on May 12th to the 13th, with the second leg a week later. CAF Director of Competition, Samson Adomu, conducted the draws.
Now, as we move closer to the next stage of the competition, we have holders of the trophy, Wydad Athletic Club, Al Ahly, CR Belouizdad, Esperance de Tunis, Mamelodi Sundowns, and Raja Casablanca, who are all back to defend their honours in the competition, as it gets even more intense than never before. Between these 8 powerhouses, they have a whopping 23 trophies under their belts. Only 2 teams have not lifted this trophy, which is CR Belouizdad and Simba.
Staying with football news, Morocco's Atlas Lions are now ranked as the best football team in Africa. In the FIFA ranking released on Thursday, Morocco maintained their 11th position in the world, but are the best in Africa. In global ranking, Morocco came ahead of Switzerland, the US, Germany, Mexico, and Uruguay. Senegal is the second best football team on the African continent, followed by Tunisia, Algeria, and Egypt, who wrap up the top 5 on the African continent. In women's football, South African national women's soccer team Banyana Banyana will play an international friendly with Serbia on Monday. The South Africans are using their match against Serbia as preparations for their World Cup Group G opponents, Sweden, Argentina, and Italy. Coach Desiree Ellis and her locally based players will team up with their colleagues abroad to be at full strength before the international friendly. Some of the locally based players are already looking forward to their encounter.
Serbia's not going to be easy, but they'll give us something that we can take back and say, okay, maybe this is what Sweden might be doing. But yeah, I think it's always good to have these preparation games just to get us set for what's to come at the World Cup.
Football is just a game at the end of the day. Anything can happen, as we saw Serbia beat Germany. So anything is possible, and I believe this team is capable of the impossible.
I believe that if you are given an opportunity to shine, yes, you have to shine, but also remain humble.
We're trying to build a team. We're trying to know each other, how the strength and the ability that we can and how we can play. But yeah, we're just building for the World Cup and what we can see, what we can do going forward.
And down to athletics. Ethiopian Lamecha Girma, who set a world indoor 3,000 meters record earlier this year, will face former 1,500 meters world champion Kenya's Timothy Cheruiyot at the Doha Diamond League meeting next month. The field includes Cheruiyot's Kenyan compatriot Ishmael Kipkure, who is the reigning world under 20 cross-country champion, as well as 3 other winners of global titles. Africa is expected to dominate the Doha Diamond League with Olympic 10,000 meters champion Seleman Berega of Ethiopia, 2-time world indoor 3,000 champion Yomif Kadlicha of Ethiopia, and world 5,000 meters bronze medalist Oscar Chilimo of Uganda, all included in the lineup. In motorsport, the Central Africa Motocross Challenge, due to begin on Easter Sunday, will draw riders from across East Africa. Kenya will send a team of 15 riders to the FIM Central Africa Motocross Challenge, slated for Busika, Uganda. The host country, Team Uganda Motocross Cranes, got a big boost following the return from South Africa of 4 national team riders. Fortune Sententamu and Stav Olandis are 2 riders who will be representing Uganda at the FIM Africa Motocross Challenge.
Sunday's event, you should expect some tricks. You know, we are fresh from South Africa, me, Stav alone. So you guys should come in big numbers, expect some whips, you know, everything. I don't want to say everything now. You have to come and see for yourself.
The next race in Busika, you just expect me to have fun, do a show for the crowd, maybe some tricks, some whips. So yeah, make sure to be there.
In tennis news, world number 5, Ons Jabeur, reached the quarterfinals of the Credit One Charleston Open after defeating U.S. Caroline Doheny, world number 172, 6-3, 7-5 in a round of 16 game played on Thursday evening. The Tunisian, who had defeated Ukrainian Lesia Surenko, world number 77, 6-3, 6-3 in round 2. And now Doheny Jabeur has now won back-to-back matches for the first time since she reached the semifinals of the Adelaide International in February.
Thanks, Samson. That's Samson Omale with another extra spicy package of African sports news. And that wraps up the April 7th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in and have a nice weekend. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.